Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Yeah, are you determined to finally get on top of your finances once and for all? For many, I know looking at the bank account is something we dread, but how should we best manage what's coming in and what is going out? The CEO of Fairstone and founder of Ask Paul, Paul Merriman, is with me in studio today. Paul, how's things? Thanks for popping in.
Oh, I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, good. Why do we all dread talking about money and our finances?
Oh, I'm going to put it down to an Irish thing. I think it's a real Irish thing to not talk about money. I think it's kind of instilled to us from a young age. Age as well. Like, I remember even my parents, like, you know, they wouldn't have been that.
We are quite secretive about it, aren't we?
Like? Yeah, I think we are. I think people sometimes think it's obnoxious. I think they're sometimes nervous about it. They're scared of it. There's a lot of different emotions attached to money, obviously, depending on your own background and where you currently sit with it. But yeah, I do think there's a lot of different emotions attached to it. But what we're hopefully going to do over the next few weeks is try and break those down and get listeners just thinking about their money a bit more and maybe discussing it with maybe a partner, people in the office, their peers. Hopefully we start that topic.
Yeah, I know. And if you've questions for Paul actually throughout this as well, it's 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number. You've been kind of looking at, I suppose, well, you know, if you're kind of, no, I don't mean starting out, but if we're now starting today on deciding, right, I want to get a better handle of this now into the summer.
Yeah.
Where do you recommend we start off? Like, if we're going for financial advice to somebody,
100%.
Where do you start?
You need to start at where the money is coming into. So it's usually your current account and looking at what your structures are, Andreas. So you need to find out, like, even making sure you're opening your payslips, making sure you know what money's coming to the account, making sure you're on the right tax credits, especially if someone that maybe got married recently and one's on the low rate of income tax, one's on the high rate of income tax. So I think the foundation is all about structure and making sure you have the right structure. All too often we find people in consultations, especially couples, have way too many accounts.
How many should we have?
You should really have, if you're in a relationship with somebody and run your joint finances, you should have a main working current account, a joint account for the household. So it's the rent or the mortgage, all the bills, electricities, bins, broadband, etc., any childcare costs. But you should probably take your own salaries into your own personal accounts and then transfer money into that working account that you agree on.
So you have
joint
accounts
expenses.
Each, you and then each, there's the joint account.
And then you get paid into your own account and then you put money into the joint account and that should be agreed on who's going to put in what and what it's going to be used for. So typically running the house. So it could be holidays, could be everything else. And then people usually keep their own personal expenses outside that. So nights out, coffees, barbers, hairdressers, makeup, whatever's going on in the month. And I think that helps couples in relation to not getting too forensic into their partner's spending either, because once the household is looked after, that should be really enough. And to be fair, probably a lot of people listen probably saying they haven't have much after that once they contribute to the joint current account. But it's also important then, once you've done that, is to try and think about financial goals. Like, are you aligned? Like, one thing I always ask clients is, what are your financial goals? Give me three of them: short, medium and long term. So short term, next few months, maybe a year; medium term, 1 to 3 years; and long term, kind of 5 up to 20 or 30 years. And you want to have, especially for couples here, you want to be on the same page. And if you're single, you'd want to really identify what your kind of financial goals are, especially if you're trying to meet somebody or thinking of meeting somebody or settling down. Because there's nothing worse than being in a relationship where the financial goals aren't aligned, because that's just going to be, you know, probably lead to a toxic enough relationship.
Do you mean in terms of, like, you know, maybe age of retirement or what you want to spend the money on?
Yeah, exactly. So age of retirement, but also, you know, a short-term goal might be that somebody wants to, you know, go on bigger holidays. They might want to get married. They might want to buy a house. Like, they're really big topics for relationships. But it can also be as simple as, you know, they might want to take time off work to go back to college. They might want to start their own business. So they're all the things that put natural strains on relationships that people don't usually talk about until it's being executed. So it's trying to wrap in, where am I today? How are we set up from the account point of view? And then what am I, or what are we looking to achieve over that short, medium and long term? But you're right, the long term is definitely the retirement age, what time you want to retire at and what does that look like.
So do you recommend, we'll say for instance, because, you know, most of us might have that sort of the current account from your kind of childhood account, you know, when we're all, your money, your salary went into over the years. So if you have that, and then you've, maybe if you're lucky enough and you're putting a few pound away each month and you have a savings account separately. Yes. So in the couple scenario, are you recommending that they still keep those two accounts plus the joint account?
Yeah, or you'd want to see the problem. Yeah, I mean, having a number of different savings accounts isn't the worst in the world. You'd probably want to have a joint savings account if you're going for something that's like a mortgage or something that you're going to do together. But yeah, if you have your own personal savings account, that's not a big deal. But it's more having multiple current accounts. I think people get tripped up on this as well, with the likes of Revolut and other online accounts, where they haven't really fully committed to Revolut. They might still have their typical Irish bank, like an AIB, PTSB, or a Bank of Ireland account, while still trying to run a Revolut account and then maybe having a savings account and maybe having a joint account. So you've got, and it's very hard to track the money unless you're really good at doing that. Now, these apps are great at giving you the intel back and giving you the information, but it's whether you actually execute or look at it on a monthly basis or even a yearly basis. I think the big thing here is that once the money comes in, it's there to be enjoyed. You work really hard. You pay a lot of income tax. Like, financial planning is not about saving every single penny for a retirement plan. It's about enjoying your money and having a conscience free when you're enjoying your money and not worried about it. I think you can only really develop that once you've got plans in place for the short, medium and long term.
Listener here has got in touch to say, I'm getting married in a couple of months. My fiance is very flippant with money. She spends almost everything. I'm wondering, how can I approach her spending before we get married? Because I don't want to seem controlling. It's a hard discussion to have, that, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think, you know what's actually a really good idea, whether it's us or somebody else, trying to go to a financial planner actually and dealing with a financial planner for the first time is a really good idea, because a good financial planner is almost like a money coach, where they should be able to find out, again, you're doing it together, you're looking at those short, medium and long-term goals. Any financial planner that's anyway decent is going to ask you what your short, medium and long-term goals are, and then you can find out whether you're aligned, and then you can start planning together. So it's not necessarily about criticising the spending. It's probably that she might know what she wants to do with her money. She mightn't have a plan. So she might know what she wants in 12 months' time or three years' time.
Let the financial planner ask those questions.
Yeah, let the financial planner. And to be fair, I will say this as well. If you don't have kind of major goals, like whether it's, okay, they're getting married, but if it's going to be buying a property, moving up the ladder and, you know, different things, spending your money is absolutely okay. Once you're not going into personal debt. So if you're spending every penny you have and you don't really have a plan, that's not a bad place to be at all. It's people panicking, thinking they need to have money saved. Okay, the emergency fund's really important. We're going to discuss that next week. But, you know, once you have your kind of little bit of stash of cash aside for an emergency, if you're spending, you know, and you don't have really big plans and you want a year where you're just going to spend money and not really budget and not really care, go for it. Enjoy your money. There's nothing wrong with that. So I think what loads of people say about they spend their money, you know, like it's gone out of fashion sometimes, that's literally okay if you don't have a plan. Now, if you're someone that's, like I said, maybe saying for a wedding or saying for a deposit for a house,
for the house or something,
it will get
like
frustrating
that,
for your partner. But other than that, spend it.
Listener here says, I have six figures worth of savings that are doing nothing interest wise. Yeah. What's the best option to invest so the money has a medium risk growth potential, but also keep enough for rainy day quick access? How should I keep... how much should I keep in savings?
Yeah, this is a really good question. So you'd probably, the emergency fund usually typically ranges to from 1,000 to 10,000 euro, maybe a bit more, especially if you have six figures. So let's just say it's 100,000, you might keep 20,000 euro in cash. You should move it out of Irish banks, though. Irish banks are completely atrocious in relation to the lack of interest they're paying. There's over 180 billion sitting on deposits, getting practically 0% when inflation is 2%. So you should be going to somewhere like Raisin.ie, that's R-A-I-S-I-N. That's a platform for deposits throughout Europe. They're all under that 100,000 guarantee scheme as well. You're going to get north of 2.5%, almost 3% on locking your money in there for up to 12 months. So that's where I'd go for the kind of short-term cash. And then, yeah, from an investment point of view, again, get a consultation with somebody, go through the investments. From a market point of view, I mean, the market had the biggest slide it's ever had recent months with Trump and oil, and then had the biggest gain it ever had. You know, so markets are volatile right now, but you'd probably ease yourself into an investment framework with that type of money. We wouldn't put it all in today. You might drip feed a little bit in over the next 12 to 18 months. But usually when you invest, Andrew, you kind of want at least 5 years where you don't want access to your money. So if you needed money next year or the year later to change the car,
so should that
20,000
split the money then, put some of it in?
Yeah, you'd put some of it in and keep some of it. Also, when it comes to investing, depending on your age profile and what you want it for, there's no real urgency to get invested. Like very rarely people make millions from investments. Like, you know, it's the kind of 6 to hopefully 10% at the higher end of the scale people are trying to get. So with already having six figures, they've probably done something right in relation to saving the money, or they're already good at money. So just trying to put a framework in where you're not getting, your money's not devaluing, but inflation is the big thing here to do, which Raisin will sort for you. And then you're trying to see, right, over the next 3 to 4 years, can I implement a plan that might help me get a bigger bang for my buck over the next maybe 5 to 10 years, that might help me clear the mortgage or retire early or Again, yeah. What's the plan for it?
The kind of the sitting down, like, and I don't know if we go to a financial planner, do you sit down with some sort of like Excel doc and go through how much am I spending on a coffee each week and this stuff?
No, because most clients that come to us don't want us to micromanage their money. And most people are fine with that piece. So most people come to us and we'll do what we have is called a cash calc system. It's quite scientific. It goes from your today right the way up to 100 years of age. So it looks at like the likes of inheritance, inflation, what the value of money is going to be when you get to retirement age. So it's really, really good. But yeah, you'd usually have a questionnaire you'd fill in and then it feeds into the software system and it brings you through very graphically actually where you are today and what your assets are going to build up to. But it's not about the coffees, believe it or not. It's about, like, you should have the coffees, and especially if just once you're not running into debt and your money's being put to use. So the system is designed to be able to show you, especially for couples and any individual actually, that feels that they're a bit tight today, that they haven't got maybe as much cash they wanted, or they haven't got the property that they're saving. Usually those things work themselves out in the next 2 to 3 years. So the system is often used to show people what it's going to be like in 5 years, 10 years, 15 or 20 years, that they're doing the right things, but they might be feeling the rewards from today because of where they are. So it's a lot about psychology and money as well.
Just a very final one from Tony. If I give my son a €3,000 yearly tax-free gift, is he better off to top up his pension through AVC from his wages and benefiting from the tax implications while using that €3,000 gift to live off? Or is he better off putting it into his mortgage? He's on the 40% tax rate with his wages.
That is a really good question. That's a really good financial planning question, and I can't give the full answer to it, but let's just analyse them. The AVC is going to make sense because he's going to get so much tax back from the revenue and really maximise his pension. But if he's doing an AVC, that's an additional voluntary contribution. Yeah. So that means he already has a pension. So I'm not really crazy about people doing too many ABCs when they're in their maybe 20s, 30s, or possibly even early 40s. You want to make sure all other parts are financed under control. Like the mortgage might be, you know, overpayment to clear it maybe 10 years earlier, or 5 years earlier, depending on what the term is. You might look at an investment account. He might want to look at maybe he has any short-term debt, paying that off. So there's so much to do with this, but they're both really good, I suppose, solutions that Tony's come up with. But it'll depend on his son's overall financial package. Like, on a spreadsheet, I can tell you that the biggest bang for buck is definitely going to be the pension. But, Tony, would you rather see your son enjoy that money today or maybe have it when he's 90?
Yeah,
so
I know.
You can sometimes overdo the pension. A lot of people think because of odd enrollment and so much negativity about Irish people and not having enough pensions, if you've got a company pension plan and you're AVCing it, you're probably not going to see that money, statistically speaking. You might die before the money gets paid out from the pension. So financial plan is all about balance, especially when you have a mortgage, especially when you have this small gifts exemption, the 3,000 that Tony's given him. So it is about trying to find the balance as well, which I hope we're going to do over the next few weeks.
Paul Merriman from Ask Paul, CEO of Fairstone, founder of Ask Paul. Paul, thanks a million. You're going to be back with us next Monday to answer more listener questions. Email those lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.